This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London mini-pod. And on this podcast, we're going to talk about refereeing and VAR. In spring 2024, Besotted were invited to the Premier League, along with representatives from all the Premier League clubs, to discuss refereeing and in particular VAR. The aim of the meeting was to have an open forum where fans were able to quite frankly discuss their views on refereeing and VAR, and also what changes they felt they could make to the game to make it better for both players on the field and for the fans off it. The meeting was useful, I'd say, because it clarified the four situations in which VAR is currently used, and that's for goals, penalties, direct red cards and mistaken identity. It also asked fans if they preferred more VAR interference, less VAR interference, and also the thresholds, if they wanted them higher or lower. And the feedback they got from that was fairly unanimous, it has to be said. Incidentally, the meeting came only a couple of days before Brentford's match with Arsenal at the Emirates, in which Guy Havertz was noted to have supposedly dived for a penalty during a routine VAR check. Anyway, the penalty wasn't given, rightly so, but the diving offence wasn't given by the referee, because VAR are actually not allowed to tell the referee to yellow card Havertz, because it doesn't come under the checks that they have to do. But that would have resulted in him being sent off. Minutes later, Havertz scored the winning goal for Arsenal, which led to the question, should VAR be changed to include malpractices that gets picked up during routine checks? The besotted crew of myself, Billy the B Grant, Dave Laney Lane and Ali Malali discussed the VAR meeting on a recent besotted podcast. We've played a clip of it on the show, but here is the full conversation. That's minus a few points that we had to take out, as it's still being decided by the Premier League. So it's more pub talk if you actually go down the globe, and you might check out what we have to say about it then. Any thoughts you have on it, just please write a comment or reply to this podcast post on social media. Today, I took a little trip down into town, down to Paddington, to go to the Premier League building as well. I've been quite a few meetings down the Premier League, but I haven't been one for a while, actually. And I didn't realise they've moved themselves from sort of Baker Street area down to Paddington Basin. And I've not even been down to Paddington Basin. The thing is, like, going to Paddington, obviously, Paddington used to be our fourth station that we used to go to. We used to go to Euston the most, and then King's Cross, And then I can't remember what the third one was. Victoria was probably one of our third ones when we were in the third division. And then Paddington was the one that we went to when we went to Bristol, the two Bristols, mate, in Cardiff, and maybe go down the West Country. So we didn't used to go there that many times a year. And I tell you something, it's changed again. Get all around there. It's changed massively. I was like, wow. Like, you know, so very different. So I went down to the Premier League. I had a meeting. There's myself. We had Ben Bland as well from Bias. He went down there representing the Bees as well. I was sort of representing Bees England and sort of Besotted as well, just giving our point of view. And another 19 clubs as well from the Premier League were all there. All the clubs were there as well. And we were talking about VAR, which has been a big hot subject of conversation between all of us lot, probably over the past few weeks because of the decisions that have and haven't been made. And it was actually, I have to say, it was an engagement meeting between us and the Premier League. We sat down there, they were really open. It was actually a really good meeting. You know, we sat down there and we gave our points of view about VAR, keep it, leave it, change it, you know, all these points of view, and being very, very frank about it. And it's really well received. And it was interesting, you know, and there's a little survey, and I'm just going to give you the sort of the results of the survey. So the surveys, questions were, you know, do you want to keep basically VAR's got a threshold of basically how much it's used. Okay. So they said, you know, should we keep the current threshold, or should we basically have more or less challenges penalized? And basically people were over half people, nearly three quarters of the people said, actually, we're happy with the threshold as it is now. We don't want any more or any less challenges penalized. Actually, we're happy with it. But then what people were interestingly said is that over half the people said that they would like VAR to intervene more. So there's actually less VAR, you know, with the current threshold of challenges. The interesting ones were, though, a lot of people, communication was the big thing. Like, you know, between fans, it's communication, and it's also about it's about the speed of us, you know, like 4, 5, 6, 7 minute decisions. You know, that's absolutely ridiculous. Those are the things that seem to wind people up the most. And they were saying, but people were really quite up for the referees announcing VAR in the stadium. That for them is, you know, it's a big thing, like they did at the Women's World Cup, and that's actually going to be coming in next season. So they're going to be announcing VAR in the stadium next season. And also they're talking about overturned footage. So if you've got a decision and it doesn't go your way, right, normally it's just the game carries on, but they're asking whether or not you could actually, you know, the fans would like to see the footage of something that didn't go their way in the stadium. And again, over 60% of the fans said actually they'd really love to see that as well, which is quite interesting. And also the biggest thing was broadcast audio, you know, the referee's audio being actually kind of sort of played out to people in the stadium so they know what's going on. And like I said to you, sort of, you know, over 60%, probably nearly 70% of people said we definitely want the referee audio coming in. So I think within the next probably 6 months or so, there's going to be quite a few changes. I think the audio is going to come in at some stage. There's going to be footage in the stadium at some stage, and there's definitely going to be announcement at some stage, and they're going to keep the levels as they are. So it's going to be interesting. And we talked about things. I mean, I talked about the big club thing, as in like big clubs seems to get, you know, more decisions than smaller clubs. Of course, the Premier League going to sit down and say, no, that's not true. But then everybody else chipped in. We had Sheffield United chipping in and Luton and everybody else saying, look, you know, we actually think that is the case. So that was quite interesting. And the main thing for me personally is what I said to them, as I said, you're trying to make all these decisions, these micro decisions, trying to get it right 100%. But I said, you know, having a toenail offside actually is not going to affect the game, but you might spend sort of 6 minutes trying to, you know, to find out whether or not the toenail is offside. I said, you've got to basically increase the tolerances. And I think if you get that, the positivity is there. If they put a lot of those things into place and they decrease the time that it makes to make decisions. I mean, we talked about the idea of teams having, you know, one or two kind of challenges to VAR. And, you know, once you've used your challenge card up, you can't challenge again. And they're like, that's quite a good idea. Maybe we should have done that from day one. So I think there's going to be quite a few changes over VAR within the next year or so. But like I said to you, there were some positive noises being muted from the Premier League. What do you think of that, Laney?
Yeah, it, you know, dialogue is important. It's I'm glad they've asked fans for their opinions. You know, it's been a battle for the authorities to recognise fans' input. I hope they sort of take heed of what's been recommended. You know, personally, the word enjoy is not ever going to be mentioned when you mention VAR as well, but I don't think it's a hugely negative thing. I think it does help get the right decision more often than not. Of course, there's there's anomalies in that, and there's been instances where we felt we've been hard done by, and there's other times where I think we've done all right out of it. I agree with the big team bias thing. I do feel that referees allow the bigger clubs to get away with more, but you know, that's always been the case. Very interested to hear that the referees or the VAR announcements will be explained in stadium. Will it be the referees that call that out, or are
that's
they going to get?
Yeah, just like the Women's World Cup.
Okay, I prefer it to be sponsored by an Italian restaurant, or yes. Or get Basil Brush or someone else to announce that. I think we could have some fun with that. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to do it. Oh yeah, one of the just or Peter Gillam just doing it globally. Yeah. So yeah, I think we could have some fun with
it. Get Monty Penasar to do it, maybe.
we could have a lot of fun with that. Well, in fact, we'll have a poll on Besotted this week. Who should actually read it out?
It's interesting as well, because they're talking about quite a few other things. They're talking about time wasting as well, and they're saying that basically they realize that there was a lot of kind of like, oh no, people are sort of getting shot dead and they're just rolling around on the floor sort of the last couple of seasons. So they put things in place this season to ensure that the time wasting was kind of like, basically if you wasted time, then the time was put back on. And they explained kind of like their reasons behind it, whereas beforehand they'd have a system where basically if it was a goal celebration, the referee would just automatically add on 30 seconds. Whereas now, like if it's a goal celebration that goes on for 4 minutes, the referee's meant to add on 4 minutes and so on and so forth. They reckon that they've actually kind of like, you know, increased the game playing time. The effective playing time was 58 minutes and 28 seconds, I think it was last season. Over, and the average match length is actually 101 and minutes and 40 seconds, okay, including all the time added on. And there's actually an extra 3 minutes and 30 seconds actually been added on with all the extra rules that have been put into place and all the extra stuff for the referees, which is sort of quite interesting. So like I said to you, their record has gone up maybe off about 5 or 6 minutes. They've added an extra 5 or 6 minutes. But the interesting thing, because they were talking about things like referee, like they're going to put in next season, I think it is, referee time wasting, because they're saying the six-second rule doesn't work, because the problem with the 6 second rule is if a goalkeeper he holds onto the ball for more than 6 seconds, and then there's an indirect free kick, you've got an indirect free kick inside the area, and it's just really hard to manage for the referees, and they just sort of scrapped it. So this is a nightmare. But what they're now going to do is that they're going to have a trial of the I think it's the 8 second rule, and you've got 8 seconds, and if you don't release it in 8 seconds, there's one or two things that are going to happen. They're trialing it in two different areas. It's either going to be a corner to the opposition, or it's going to be a throw on to the opposition in line with the penalty area. So they're doing all these things to try and kind of stop the old cheating. And it just made me laugh, because I was thinking about the David Raya glove situation. Ooh. And you know, and also we're all sort of going down there accusing us of boring and cheating, like, you know, and just how Brentford are going to deal with it. And interestingly, what they're saying to us is the problem that they've got, the clubs have got now, is that as players are getting more yellow cards for inverted commas time wasting, it's getting to roundabout now. And you think about Christian Normgaard, not saying he's a time waster, but all of a sudden they become on 9-10 yellow cards where they get suspended. So it's almost like the clubs may have to sort of manage that situation now, because they're getting their players suspended who may not have been suspended before for, in effect, kind of time management issues. Ali, do you think that's interesting?
Oh, it's very interesting. I mean, it's sort of like, for years of working in TV, we always added up to 30 seconds for every goal, 30 seconds for every substitution. And I mean, my bread and butter is time. So, I mean, it has noticeably, there is a lot more, you know, that's, I can say, well, that's realistic and that's not realistic. Because sometimes it just seems that all the time is added on that has been wasted or whatever. And sometimes you go, how is it only 2 minutes? Because, you know, Ben Mee was down being injured for three, you know, so, but, you know, it does seem, I think 58 minutes is a very small amount of time of a 90-minute game for the ball to be in, but a ball to actually be in play. So if they're extending that, that's great. But yeah, it's how you manage the time-wasting situation. Maybe there's going to have to be a need where it's 6 and 12 yellow cards, possibly, just to give it a little bit more leeway? Or is it just carnage initially for the first season and then everybody gets used to the idea, you know?
They only clamped down for the first 3 weeks of the season anyway, like they did this year. We're kicking the ball away and that supposedly time-wasting
and
thing.
Also, if you're James Madison, you can go and harangue
them. Yeah, exactly. All of that sort of clamp down seems to have ended already. Do you know what I mean? So
it'd be interesting to see if it's enforced, won't it?
Interesting if they can get VAR right. I think it's for the, you know, the betterment of the game. But you know, it all. I mean, I just think Sky and the broadcasters, they love it anyway, because they get another 6 hours coverage out of talking about it, don't they? So they want it as complicated and as contentious as possible, mostly, I think, just so they get content.
I
think a lot of people in TV and in punditry will say that actually they don't actually like having to talk about VAR and the rest. They'd rather be talking about the game, to be fair. They just feel that they're forced into talking about it because that it's all contentious. Nobody knows what's gone on. And I think we should hear all the discussions like you do in rugby, because then the crowd gets involved. You know, you will see, you know, you watch a rugby match, and if it's England playing at Twickenham, they'll be replaying on the big screen, and you hear all the crowd go, ooh,
secondary sort of, like, now all these retired referees now are getting like second careers, you know, they're all getting punditry gigs on the media, and Nottingham Forest have hired Clattenburg, isn't it, as a refereeing consultant.
Which is fine if he's just consulting for them, but he's then going out into the media and putting pressure on referees on Forest's behalf, like he did this weekend, is not fine. That will be his brief,
I'm sure.
No, there needs to be a conversation about that, for sure.
And a points deduction, I would say.
That's right, yeah. And part of the thing that they were talking about the fact is about the pressure on referees. So, you know, they don't sort of set things like what levels, you know, that they don't turn around to see, we want to have the minutes up to sort of kind of 70 minutes or something like that, because they think that the pressure on the referees would be so much, they'll be sort of spending their whole time going, oh no, I'm only on 68 minutes, like, you know. So they're saying that it's a gradual process as they're sort of trying to get there, like, you know. But it was a really interesting meeting. We had the old quizzes, of course, where, you know, you had to sit down and work out what was fouls and what was a red card, what was a yellow card, when VAR should have come in, when it wasn't going to come in, you know. So he sort of sat through all three of those and making those decisions, which, to be quite honest, some of them are really difficult decisions. And that's the whole thing, you know, what I was trying to explain. I'm saying, look, the referees are human, and you have to give them a certain shadow of doubt, and the technology should be helping them to make those decisions. But the problem is that if those decisions are taking so long, it's not obviously clear and obvious. And sometimes you just got to take a hit and just say, look, at the end of the day, you know, look, it is what it is. The decision is what it is. We may get it wrong sometimes, we may get it right sometimes, but in general, the system is helping us. Because for me, I said to them, I would rather watch a free-flowing game with much less stops, much less VAR, and much less decision time, right? You know, where time is taken over decisions, where decisions are made in, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, you know. I said to them, like, if it's not made in 45 seconds, then just, you know, let the referee's decision go. And they were like, whoa, you know, that's quite, but it's not revolutionary, because it's just kind of like, that's what all happened before the VAR came in. So yeah, it was a good meeting, but we probably come back to that quite soon, because I'm sure the decisions will be made and we'll see where they are. Just was one other thing actually I just wanted to quickly talk about. Yellow cards and yellow card red cards are up this season. You probably don't know. They've been dishing out yellow cards and red cards mainly for dissent and delaying tactics, right? So basically, I think it was 944 yellow cards and 22 red cards, something like that, last season. And we're down up to sort of 1,135 yellows and 47 reds. So it's almost like, you know, 50% and nearly 100% increase in the cards because of all this kind of stuff. And so, like I said to you, there's been a lot of activity with a lot of referee brandishing. And I think Brentford fans, the other day, when was it, the Liverpool game, where there was all sorts of yellow card action going on? We got loads of decisions against us and they got none.
Liverpool.
I did mention Liverpool as well. It's interesting, the only two fans that there were big fouls happening. There's two Liverpool fans in there. Biscuits was one of them, and then there's another Liverpool fan, and there was this really obvious, like massively obvious foul that was made, right? And it's a sending off red card offence. And of course, everybody voted for it, okay, except for the two Liverpool fans. And it just goes to show you how the rose-tinted glasses come in. And everyone's going, how could you not vote for that? They're like, oh, it's just not clear and obvious, or it's a goal-scoring opportunity. And any excuse you can give. So I think as fans, sometimes we do put the rose-tinted glasses on if it's your own team. And the decisions that maybe should have been made, you still won't make them because you can't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, that's Liverpool. Yeah, I noticed that after the game that they weren't particularly happy about explaining some of the decisions that happened. But you know,
that's
they're too used to winning.
That's right, c'est la vie, as they say.
So that was the besotted crew's discussion on the recent Premier League VAR meeting. Don't forget to buy us a beer at besotted.com/beer. Subscribe to us on all good podcast channels and write us a review. Don't forget to check out our podcast on prideofwest.london. And thanks for listening.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.